Hello, welcome to Lesson 8, the last lesson in our Scripset training. We've accomplished so much in such a short time. In only 7 lessons, we've learned about and practiced almost every Scripset feature. During this last lesson, we're going to discuss instructions that will enable you to customize the Scripset program to meet your work needs. Let's get right down to business. Figure 8-1 describes what we're going to learn. The figure also lists the materials and preparation you'll need for the lesson. Turn to Figure 8-1, read through the objectives, gather the materials, and prepare for the lesson. Go ahead, do that now. The default responses that appear after the prompts on the different utility menu pages are designed to meet the needs of the majority of the Scripset users. For example, most of the time when you select the Repaginate utility, you don't want to hyphenate. That's why the default responses are already typed. Now, when you want to answer a prompt with a different response, all you do is type the new response in place of the default response. But Scripset is very friendly. It allows you to change many of the default settings to fit your work situation. For example, if you always use a serial printer, you can change the default response in the Print Document Utility menu, and then you won't have to remember to change the response each time you print. Or, if you always print 56 lines per page, you can change the lines per page prompt in the Print Document Utility menu, and again, you won't have to remember to change the response each time you print. Changing the default settings is a diskette utility, which means you select the utility from the directory page. Since the directory is on the screen, all you do to select the diskette utilities is type the letter U. Do that now. In the middle of the list of disk utilities is the Change Disk Default prompt. When you type the letter C, the Change Disk Defaults menu will appear. Type the letter C now to select this utility. Go ahead. As you can see from the list of prompts in the Change Disk Defaults menu, you can change the default setting for quite a few menu pages. First, you can change the window mode and the margins or tabs in the default format line, then the paginate and print defaults, and then the create document defaults. The last two prompts on this menu page enable you to further define the characteristics of a serial printer, and to change the align character from a decimal point to a comma for international currencies or to whatever character you want. We're going to practice working with some of these default prompts, and then you can experiment on your own. And since the window mode and format line settings are at the top of the Change Disk Defaults list, we'll begin with them. To change the window mode and format line, type the letter W. Go ahead. The prompt lists the three possibilities for the window mode of your working page. The O for outline mode instructs the system to indent each new paragraph at the outline tab position. The E for erase mode instructs the system not to close up the gaps on a page when text is deleted. The V for full video mode instructs the system to always display the symbols for tabs, enter, soft returns, and print codes. Right now, the default window mode is O. But to change the default and create your own window mode default setting, you can type any combination of the letters O, E, and V. If you type only one or two letters, press Enter to end the line. If you type all three letters, the system ends the line for you. If you don't want to change the window mode, press the Escape key. When you press Escape, or when you change the mode and then press Enter, a blank screen with the default format line will appear. Press Escape now. Go ahead. What you see now is a blank working page that shows the default format line settings for the margins, outline tab, and line spacing. Margins at 10 and 70 with an outline tab at 15 provide a standard 60-character writing line with a paragraph indent. But if you use wide paper to print on most of the time, or if you never indent paragraphs, you should change the default format line. That way you don't have to remember to change the margins or outline tab. To change the default format line, move the cursor along the format line and set new margins. A new or no outline tab, or even regular or aligned tabs. When you press enter, the new format line will be recorded as the new default format line, and the settings will appear whenever you create a new document and ask for the default format. When you're finished changing the format line, press enter, and the Change Disk Defaults menu page will appear again. We aren't going to change the default format line now, so press enter to return to the Change Disk Defaults menu page. Go ahead. After you change any default setting, the system automatically returns you to the Change Default menu page. You can then select and change another default group or go back to the directory. Let's continue on and select the Paginate and Print Document settings. Go ahead, type the letter P. This is a familiar menu page. The four prompts are what you see when you repaginate a document. These default responses assume that you want to repaginate as quickly as possible and therefore don't want to change the format or line spacing and don't want to take the time to hyphenate the text. Probably the only paginate default response you may want to change is the number of lines per page. The 50-line default response allows for a full page of text with a comfortable top and bottom margin. But if you always use legal paper or other long paper, you will want to paginate with more than 50 lines per page. To create your own default paginate menu, you would type a new response in place of one of the four you see now. When you finish, or if you don't want to change the paginate defaults, press the Escape key and the Print menu page appears. Go ahead, press the Escape key now. From time to time, you will definitely want to change the print defaults. And here again, you can customize the Print Document menu page by changing any of the responses to the prompts. If you always print on continuous form paper, you'll want to change the paper size to the length of your paper. Otherwise, a document will not be positioned on each page correctly. This is particularly important if you merge a mailing list with a master envelope format and are going to print on continuous form envelopes. If you don't change the paper size response to match the depth of the envelope, the names and addresses will not be printed in the correct position on the envelopes. Now, if you change the default lines per page setting in the Paginate menu, you should also change the default lines per page setting in the Print menu. If you plan 80 lines per page in the Paginate menu and then only 50 in the Print menu, the system will think you have too much text for a page. You won't be able to print the document correctly. If you always print on continuous form paper, you'll want to change the default pause between pages to N, and the parallel, serial, or user-driven printer prompt to F for form feeding on the daisy wheel too. If you like to print all your documents justified, you should change the default to C, W, or S. If you prefer to print with a 12-pitch print wheel, and if you also justify by increments or print bold, underline, or type one character on another, change the default pitch to 12. I think you can see the variety of ways you can change the print defaults. Now, if you change the default response to the parallel, serial, or user-driven printer to U or S, you will also want to work with another default menu which tells the system how to communicate with another kind of printer. We'll talk about the serial printer output parameters in a few minutes. We aren't going to change any of the default responses for printing now. So press Escape to go back to the Change Disk Defaults menu, and we'll talk about the Create Document settings next. Go ahead, press Escape. We're back at the Change Disk Defaults menu page, and the Create Document settings prompt is next on the list. So to change these defaults, type the letter C. Go ahead. These prompts should be very familiar by now. Depending on the number of people who use the system and on the kinds of documents you prepare, you may only want to change a few of these responses. For example, if you are the only Scripcit operator, you can type your name or initials for the operator prompt. If you want to change the number of lines on each page, the activity level, or the vertical or horizontal format, you would type the new response in place of the default settings you see now. We aren't going to change any of the responses now, so press Escape to go back to the Change Disk Defaults menu page. Go ahead. You must select the Serial Printer Output Parameters, and you must answer the prompts if you are using a serial printer. All Radio Shack printers are parallel, so you shouldn't change any of these prompts unless you are using a serial printer. If you want to take the time now to look at the serial printer prompts, type the letter S, review the prompts, then press Escape to come back to the Change Defaults menu page. There's just one more default item to talk about. If you type columns of figures and want to align them at a character other than a decimal point, you would type the letter T to select the Change Tab Align Character. This default is most commonly changed when you need to type columns that include figures expressed in foreign currencies. For example, German marks, British pounds, and French francs are all printed with commas instead of decimal points. We aren't going to look at this default now, but keep it in mind if you want to change the align character. We've quickly gone through each of the change disk default items. Figure 8-2 describes each item, shows an example of when you should change the default setting, and then lists the procedures to change each one. Review the information in the figure and be sure to read about changing the default settings in the Scripcit reference manual. You don't have to change any of the default settings, but if changing one of them will help your working situation, by all means, modify the defaults to suit your needs. Read the information in Figure 8-2. Then, display any of the Change Disk default menu pages if you want to review them again. Go ahead. Do that now. We have four more instructions to talk about right now. Press the Break key to go back to the Disk Utilities menu page. Go ahead. You already know about four of these utilities, B, S, F, and C. The last utility in the menu list is the Print Control Code Editing utility. This utility allows you to change the codes you type to print underlined characters, bold characters, and so forth. We aren't going to say anything more about this utility, but be sure to read about it in the Scripcit reference manual. One of Scripcit's most remarkable features is user-defined keys. Do you see the prompt User Sequence Editing? This disk utility provides you with enormous flexibility. With this utility, Scripcit allows you to program certain keys. In fact, there are 20 keys that you can program or define yourself. For example, if there is a certain sequence of keystrokes that you use often, you can store the sequence up to 255 keystrokes in one of the user-defined keys. Then, whenever you want to execute the entire sequence, you press Escape and then the user key you defined. Scripcit will execute the keystroke sequence automatically. There are two ways to define a user key. You can define a user key with a disk utility User Sequence Editing that's on the screen now, or you can define a user key while working in a document. In this lesson, we're going to define a key from within a document. But before we leave the disk utility menu, let's discuss the one disk utility that we still haven't talked about, listing the directory to the printer. As you develop a library of diskettes that you always use with Scripcit, printing a copy of the directory for each diskette will help you stay organized. The printout of the directory will look just like the directory you see on the screen. You can fold the printout and keep it in the disk jacket, or put the lists in a folder or binder. Then keep the directory printouts close by you, so you can always see what is recorded on each diskette. Now, before you type the letter L to list the directory to the printer, be sure you have a sheet of paper in the printer and that your printer is turned on. When you have inserted a sheet of paper and turned the printer on, type the letter L and the first page of the directory will be printed. When printing stops, a message may appear at the bottom of the screen asking whether you want to print the next page. Insert another sheet of paper and type a Y to print the next page. The message will appear after each page is printed. Each time printing stops and the message appears, type the letter Y to begin printing the next page. Of course, if you change the printing defaults so the system doesn't pause between pages, this message won't appear, and the system will print the pages of the directory without stopping. When the entire directory is printed, the directory will reappear on the screen. That was a long explanation of the instruction. The key thing is to remember to be sure you have paper in the printer. Go ahead now and list the directory to the printer. You have a printed copy of the directory for this Scriptset diskette, and the directory is also on the screen. Now that we're back on the directory page, let's finish up your lessons with one of Scriptset's most remarkable features, the user-defined keys. To demonstrate this feature, we'll use the commercial lease that you worked with in Lessons 5 and 6. First of all, position the cursor in the cell that contains the commercial lease document and copy it to a document named Lease. Go ahead and make a copy of the commercial lease document. All done? Okay, open the new document named Lease that you just copied and get page 2. Go ahead. Is page 2 of the lease document on the screen? Okay, move the cursor down to the paragraph that begins Note. Now, as you recall, you reformatted this paragraph with new margins in Lesson 5. But what if you were editing a long document with many different formats? It would take a long time, even if you used stored format lines. We'll use a user-defined key to make this reformatting job easier. Is the cursor positioned at the beginning of the note paragraph? Then let's instruct the system to define a user key. Hold down the control key, and while continuing to hold it down, type the letter Z. Go ahead. The screen changed quite a bit, didn't it? A large box appeared. This box is called the editing box, and the system is asking which user key you want to define. There are 20 keys to choose from, and later you'll find them listed in the Scriptset reference manual, but right now, let's define the one key. Go ahead and type the number 1. One of two things happened. Either your text returned to the screen, or the editing box remained on the screen and a prompt appeared above it. If your text reappeared on the screen, that means that the one key has not yet been defined. If a new prompt appeared above the editing box, and if some symbols appeared inside the editing box, that means that the one key has been defined. If the editing box is still on the screen, type the letter C to clear the one key and press Enter. Now you are ready to define the one key. Anything you type now will be stored in the one key. Let's store the steps to reformat this paragraph. First of all, press Ctrl F to move the cursor to the format line. Go ahead. Now you'll recall format line 2. Go ahead and type R. Answer the prompt with a 2 and press Enter. Next, reformat the paragraph according to the new format line. Press Ctrl D, type a P, and then type F to reformat the paragraph according to the new margins. Has the paragraph been reformatted? Well, you've reformatted paragraphs before, but this time, as you entered the instruction to reformat the paragraph, every keystroke was recorded in the memory for the one key. You've defined the key. To tell the system that you've finished defining the key, press Control, and while holding Control, press Z. Go ahead. And that's it. You've just defined the one. Let's see how your user-defined key works. Get the next page. Go ahead. Is the cursor on the first paragraph? The one that begins with the word item? Okay. Let's use the defined one key. To execute a user-defined key, you just press Escape and then type the defined key. Go ahead and press Escape. Now, watch the paragraph and type a 1. You've got to admit, that was fast. And that's one of the great things about user-defined keys. You can use them to execute long instructions, standard words. You can even link them together. That's all we're going to say about user-defined keys in this lesson, but you'll find a lot of information about the feature in your Scriptset reference manual. For example, the reference manual lists the 20 keys that you can define. It tells you how to edit a sequence that's already been defined and how to define a key by using the disk utility. All right, we have one more instruction to talk about. Press the escape key once. Go ahead. For most of our practice, we've skipped the escape prompts because we could enter an instruction a faster way. But the last word in the escape prompts is one you should appreciate. When you need help because you've forgotten an instruction, ask your system to help you remember it. Type the letter H now and see what happens. Go ahead. Every instruction we've talked about or practiced, along with a brief description of what the instruction does, is listed here on the screen. The note at the bottom of the screen tells you the short version of an instruction and also how to see the next screen. There are 3 pages of commands that you can review. Just press Enter to see the next page. And once you find the instruction you forgot, press Break and your text page reappears. Help is never more than an instruction away. If you'd like a copy of these recognized commands, they are listed under Help in your Scriptset reference manual. We're at the end of this lesson and also at the end of the training program. It's up to you now to practice what you've learned and to review whatever you're unsure of. These 8 lessons taught you the basics of Scriptset, and if you practice what you learned, you should do well. Keep the Scriptset reference manual close by and refer to it both to review the features you know about and, more important, to learn about the features that might be important to you, but that we didn't cover in the lessons. If you're not going to practice, go back to the directory, end the session, remove the Scriptset diskette, and turn the system off. Also, don't forget to review the list of features and terms in Figure 8-3, too. Congratulations! You've finished the Scriptset training program. Welcome to the Radio Shack team of professional word processing operators. Fast forward the tape. This is the end of Lesson 8.